I'm Cindy Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Advice for little kids from a former little kid.
Grown-ups always ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's super annoying. Just say whatever pops into your head. Firefighting princess or president of Mars. You're a kid, and kids change their minds. It's not legally binding.
An Ohio tax-free 529 plan is made for change. Savings can be used for college or all kinds of career training, nationwide, or even rolled over into a Roth IRA. So take some of that tax refund and get started at collegeadvantage.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Returning now to Donald Trump's remarkable suggestion of taking over the Gaza Strip, leveling it and moving the Palestinian population out of their homes to neighbouring countries. Jordan and Egypt have rejected this idea when Trump first floated it, and Saudi Arabia has said it would not waver from its position that it will only establish ties with Israel if there is a creation of a Palestinian state. But can Donald Trump even do as he says he wants to? We'll discuss that in a few minutes with Professor Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. But first, let's listen to more of what the President of the United States had to say yesterday about the current state of Gaza.
I believe that the Gaza Strip, which has been a symbol of death and destruction for so many decades and so bad for the people anywhere near it, and especially those who live there, and frankly, who's been really very unlucky. It's been very unlucky. It's been an unlucky place for a long time. Being in its presence just has not been good, and it should not go through a process of rebuilding and occupation by the same people that have really stood there and fought for it and lived there and died there and lived a miserable existence there. Instead, we should go to other countries of interest with humanitarian hearts, and there are many of them that want to do this, and build various domains that will ultimately be occupied by the 1.8 million Palestinians living in Gaza, ending the death and destruction and, frankly, bad luck.
Because, of course, bad luck killed the almost 62,000 that Gazan officials now say have been killed since the start of Israel's bombardment of the Strip. That figure has been revised upwards from the one you've probably heard before to include the over 14,000 who are missing and therefore presumed dead. Trump then went on to say this.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip and we will do a job with it too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. Do a real job, do something different. Just can't go back. If you go back, it's going to end up the same way it has for 100 years.
There's been, of course, plenty of reaction to this Trump proposal. Here's Middle East analyst Lauren Blumenfeld speaking to the BBC.
In decades of working in the region, covering the region, living there, working for peace, hoping for better days, I've just never been so surprised. Fresh thinking is how they put it. Far-fetched is how most would respond. I have to say, though, what sounds like, you know, nails on a chalkboard to many people's ears across the region is kind of Beethoven's Ode to Joy to Netanyahu's right-wing coalition. So what I'm just wondering is if this is all part of a negotiating strategy. You know, the two master hagglers, Netanyahu and Trump, went into a room and they tried to figure out a way basically for each man to emerge victorious. So on that ceasefire deal, Trump gave Netanyahu a way to kind of say that the war is over, but he's going to end the war by ending the very people who live there. So that could be potentially a way out for Netanyahu. We've often asked, you know, how can he sort of allay the sort of demands of the right-wing coalition without bolting, so that Netanyahu can declare the war over. So perhaps Trump is saying if the people are gone, there's no war to fight.
And where would all those Palestinian people go? Well, CNN's Caitlin Collins put that question to her colleague, Fareed Zakira.
Well, it's breathtaking, and one doesn't really know where to begin. You asked the central question, Caitlin, which is, where would these people go? There are 2 million Palestinians in Gaza who have lived through several wars, several, incredibly intense bouts of violence with Israel, because they want to live on their land. As you say, the neighboring countries, Egypt and Jordan, have both categorically and repeatedly said that they're not going to take people in. So it's not entirely clear how this happens. The United States would have to invade Gaza, would have to expel Hamas, would have to conduct counterinsurgency operations against an insurgency there that would exist, would also have to persuade Egypt and Jordan to take these refugees. And, you know, one has to point out, outside of all the geopolitical issues that raises, this is a president who came in saying he wanted to focus on America first. He didn't want us engaging in any grand global projects. Well, I mean, this is another war in the Middle East. And the last war in the Middle East we took part in ended up stretching out much longer, was much more complicated, and cost about $2 trillion. So, it seems very unlikely that this can go smoothly. You can imagine American power forcing the Egyptians to do some things, forcing the Jordanians to do something. But you're going to have to put military on the ground to get Hamas to cede power, to get the Palestinians to move, to secure that area. And that is another military intervention in the Middle East. And I thought President Trump ran in 2016 explaining that that was precisely why he was running. He wanted to stop America's senseless adventures in the Middle East.
And then later on CNN, Rula Jibril, a Palestinian journalist and visiting professor at the University of Miami, had this to say on Newsnight with Abby Phillip. You'll also hear Josh Rogan, global security analyst at the Washington Post Intelligence.
I mean, clearly there is now, it's an official foreign policy of the United States, the illegal occupation of a sovereign land, ethnic cleansing, which constitute both, on both counts, crimes against humanity. I mean, maybe Donald Trump doesn't remember, but July this year, the International Court of Justice actually talked about Gaza and issued an order. And in the order says that Gaza is still occupied, that that occupation is illegal, that Israel needs to end the occupation both of the West Bank and in Gaza. By the way, the other piece, he said he will decide on the West Bank next week, which means we don't know next week if he will allow Israel to annex it or not. I mean, in 30 years, I've been covering foreign policy. I never seen a coherent, incoherent, lunatic proposal or proposition as such. He just put a target on every serviceman back tonight because the region is on fire already, and he's setting the whole region further on fire.
This feels, honestly, Josh, like the effective end of any hope that there will be a two-state solution. I mean, this feels like the end of it. For him to say that at the podium, it's not off the cuff. It's planned. It's part of a foreign policy strategy of this administration.
Right. I agree with everything you said. And I think to have the president of the United States advocating for ethnic cleansing is horrendous and unprecedented and deserves its own hearing. It also, to me, reveals a deep ignorance of the situation in the Middle East on the part of the president of the United States, because the plan that he articulated doesn't match any reality in the region. It has no chance of actually happening because none of the Arab states are going to take 2 million people, and they're not going to leave anyway, and there's no mechanism to actually get them out if they wanted to leave, which they don't. And so the whole idea is based in a fundamental misunderstanding of what's going on in the region. So we've sacrificed our moral authority as a nation for nothing, for no tangible benefit, and undermined the ceasefire and the peace deal that Trump says that he wants, undermining his own policy in the process. So it's really a triple lose-lose-lose scenario where Trump has undermined his own policy, he's undermined American standing in the world, and he's tossed 2 million people into the abyss of an ethnic cleansing plan that we should all vocally stand against.
And that voice is that of Josh Rogan, global security analyst at the Washington Post Intelligence. Well, now we're joined by Paul Rogers. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
What did you make of this performance last night by Trump and a grinning Netanyahu?
The highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. The people who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. And it's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined for a new generation of explorers through thoroughly modern design. Its interior is modern and functional, with rich material finishes and quality craftsmanship. When you're in a Defender, you can tell the interior is built for purpose. Luxury appointments throughout and practical storage options ensure you adventure in comfort. This is a vehicle capable of great things and engineered to meet challenges head-on. Wherever you're headed, experience the Defender's legendary capability, both off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep. Until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
This spring, follow what feels right, like coasting the day away on white sand beaches, making new friends with playful dolphins, taking time for each other in a relaxing place. It just feels right to take a break in Fort Myers. Book a direct flight from your city to Southwest Florida International Airport. Plan your trip to the islands, beaches, and neighborhoods of Fort Myers at visitfortmyers.com.
Feeling drained, foggy, or just not yourself? These may be the effects of low testosterone levels. Henry Meds has you covered. Our testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT, is available in pills, injectable, or daily creams. Many patients report improvements in energy, mood, and focus. Though individual results may vary, TRT may support sexual function for some patients. Go to henrymeds.com/TRT to consult a healthcare provider to see if TRT is right for you. Take the first step in feeling your best again. henrymeds.com/TRT.
Well, when I heard the first reports on the BBC at 6 o'clock this morning, I was pretty staggered. I thought he'd gone very much farther than anybody expected, and it raises all sorts of questions, some of which we've been exploring on the show. It was basically real surprise and shock, and that's bearing in mind that I'd expected strong support for Israel. But what seems to be the case is we're going to have Gaza cleared and turned into a Riviera. Almost certainly Trump will support the annexation of the West Bank. And so essentially the idea of a two-state solution is out. But more than that, it does redraw the map in many ways. So, there's one crucial thing which I think people tend to forget, and that is as of now, the non-Jew population of Israel as a whole is slightly larger than the Jewish population. Of course, if you then got 2.3 million largely Muslim people leaving Gaza from other parts of the Middle East, that redresses that balance as far as the demographers in Israel are concerned. And that's a small but important point. But there are many other things. But for the moment, we're just starting to see the reaction. I notice one of the latest reactions is the opposition from Turkey to this, which I think is quite significant.
Yeah, Turkey, of course, being a member of NATO. And moving to what he plans, and it does seem like an ethnic cleansing move. And when they ask the question, how will it be done? I mean, you get images of cattle trucks heading with populations of Jews off to Poland, to camps of Auschwitz. I'm not sure that's what they have in mind, but the imagery is strong that this is what they herd the Gazans out of Gaza into somewhere else, wherever that somewhere else might be, replicating what is called the Nakba of 1948, when at the time 700,000 Palestinians were moved from their homes to make way for Israelis.
Yes, and I think that is the very much the view from within, not just the Palestinian communities, but from right across the Arab world and beyond, across much of the global south. This seems to be the United States finally demonstrating its true colours under the Trump banner. And I think one appreciates that what people have been saying about this time round, the Trump administration is far better prepared than last time round, is not just true, but also it's being implemented extremely quickly. Because while all this is going on, you have Elon Musk basically getting more and more power at a quite extraordinary level within the Trump administration. But I think one also has to recognize that if you're looking at Trump's own nature, an awful lot of this is down to two things. One, his huge self-belief that he can do deals where virtually nobody else can. But the other, he is very much a real estate person, and he works very closely. He finds a home with the billionaires that are now associated with the administration. And that, in a sense, is where he's coming from. He's not coming from conventional international politics. And I think what he sees is this vision of this extraordinary Riviera on the Mediterranean to rival Dubai, you know, 1,000 miles to the east. And I think one has to remember that is part and parcel of his own makeup. It suits very much Netanyahu because, of course, the far-right elements within his current government seem to be over the moon of what is being suggested. Beyond that, though, there are so many issues that are coming up here. But what we're going to see in the short term is a strong reaction. It'll be very interesting to see what the reaction is from Britain, because obviously with the Starmer government very close to the Israeli government, but not all its members, not all its MPs by a long shot share that, I think it's going to cause some very interesting politics within Britain as well. Now, that's maybe just one thing, speaking from, you know, as a person within Britain, but it's an indication of the complexities of what we're dealing with. But the next 36 hours, I think we're going to see more and more about what other significant Western countries are thinking about this. I think a number of them will be really very cautious in what they say because they recognize the power of Trump, but they're going to have to say something and say it fairly quickly.
Now, Joe Biden, of course, went softly, softly on the Netanyahu government when the disproportionate response to October the 7th unfolded. And the argument was that there's a massive Jewish lobby within the United States, and both of the major parties have to cozy up to them. And therefore, he was reluctant to really impose any great sanction on Israel for its destruction of Gaza. What do you think will happen? Will the Democrats rally around this proposal from Donald Trump for fear of alienating a Jewish lobby?
I think probably not. One has to remember that we talk about the Jewish lobby in the United States. I think it's much more accurate to call it the Israel lobby, because American Jews, of which there are about 7 million, the same number as there are in Israel itself, by and large are on the political liberal side of things. And although they will be strong in support for Israel, it's not at the level that people tend to expect. And you have the people, the J Street people and others, who are actually very critical. The much more important group in electoral terms in the United States is the Christian Zionists. And there we're talking about 20 to 30 million people who believe passionately that Israel controlling Palestine, if you like, is part of God's plan. And you find quite a lot of the new settlements on the West Bank are actually supported by Christian churches in the United States. So I think there it's slightly more complicated. But in answer to your specific answer to your question, yes, Trump will be very much interested in that lobby because, of course, the Christian Zionists tend to vote Republican and they tend to vote more than the average American. So it's always something, probably not for himself, but some members of his staff will be conscious of that for sure.
Interesting text from one of my listeners. Jerry says, Is Trump requesting more living space for Israelis? Lebensraum. The last time someone used that as an excuse, it precipitated World War II. I think Trump genuinely is showing signs of senility, or maybe he just wants to build many Trump Gaza plazas.
Oh, yes. Very interesting points. The question of senility is something which I know is worrying quite a lot of people in and around Washington. You have to be very cautious here, but it's very easy to sort of get a new sort of rumor coming along that this is all down to Trump's aging. That being said, there are indications that he is, I wouldn't say rambling, but certainly speaking off the cuff more than you would expect. Against that, one also knows that the broad messages that he puts out on issues like this are not sort of spur-of-the-moment stuff. They are thought through, not necessarily by him, but by people around him. And one has to remember that that element as well is very significant. And we've seen that time and time again, where you've got really pretty surprising things coming out of Trump. And this is really only in the past 3 weeks, of course, which actually turn out to be things which have been thought through by others as well. So again, very difficult to decipher. But the point about all of this is that we are in a very new state of play. And I think what has happened overnight is an indication of just how far things are changing and what their implications are worldwide.
Now, there are other things going on domestically. I mean, the list of FBI agents who were involved in the investigations of January the 6th have been handed over by the FBI authorities. The CIA have offered all their staff to take 8 months' pay and get out of there. The Department of Education is to be disbanded slowly but surely to return education to the states. I mean, this is an unfolding autocracy before the very eyes of people who don't, who are maybe too close to it to see it.
I would tend to agree with you, yes. I mean, I think these are pretty fundamental changes, and they want to do things very quickly. And I think many people who are really close supporters of Trump want to be absolutely sure that they're going to be long-term control of people like them beyond Trump's term. And Trump's term is the opportunity to do these changes very quickly. And people who have a sort of a broader sense of history, including, of course, many Americans, will be getting more and more concerned about this. But the reality is power currently lies with Trump. And Trump's associates have been working for many years, but particularly the last 4 years, to build up a sort of a coterie of advisors and supporters who can move into positions right across the administration, are doing that and doing that pretty quickly. So we're seeing a very changing situation. How and where the backlash will develop, very difficult to say. But I think there are an awful lot of people in foreign ministries across Europe and certainly across the global south who are now getting very concerned about what is actually happening before their eyes. Beyond that, who can say? But we are in a very different world. And I think what has happened overnight is a further proof of that.
Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Paul, thank you very much for joining us. Now, coming up later on the show, how to manage your trees during future storms.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa HS for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.